Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. Early resurrection morning, before the sun had come up, it was quiet. It was very quiet in front of the tomb. And, you know, I remember when Jesus was baptized and he went underwater and then he came back up out of the water. And I remember what the Father said. But somehow I was just kind of thinking that because the Father was seeing what His Son was going to do and the baptism was representing the death of burial of His Son, I believe that early, early Sunday morning, first day of the week, it's quiet, very quiet. And all of a sudden it begins to rumble and the Word of God, He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And He arose. And oh my goodness, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. What He did for us, folks. Hallelujah. What He's done for us and what He is doing for us. Hallelujah. Is based on what we're celebrating this morning, the resurrection of the Son of God. Glory to God. Ooh, glory. Let's just worship Him. Let's give Him a praise, if you would. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Shakara, My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. You may seat it if you'd like. This morning, that's going to be a little bit different this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good morning. Happy, glorious Resurrection Sunday to you. Amen. Praise God. Is God good? I'm going to tell you that God is good. Yes, He is. It's a fact. Woo-hoo, man. It is not just a fact. It's a truth. God is good. And He's been so good to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Ooh, man, how many sense the presence of God in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you what, can't do anything without the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is in the house. We got four young men. We're gonna allow them to speak into your hearts this morning. I just told them, hey, bring something on Sunday morning and Resurrection Sunday. Is that okay? So just bring something. Bring us something. Give us some food. How many of you guys are hungry for something from God? Amen? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? You got to come expecting. You ever bought a burger over at Burger King? I don't know. Maybe In-N-Out Burger. How many like In-N-Out Burger? Man, I love In-N-Out Burgers. Maybe. And then you're sitting there waiting for your number to be called. Is that right? You hear a number, man. Was that our number? No, that wasn't our number. Oh, was that ours? No. And then you say, what was our number again? Did anybody do that? What was our number again? Waiting for that number. Expecting something. Amen. Expecting to hear that number. Are you doing that? Are you expecting to hear God say something to you this morning? Well, let me just tell you, those of you that are, you're going to hear something this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Because God answers the expectations of His people. Is that okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not my day to preach. But I don't want to go. Oh, you know what? You guys forget your messages. I'm going to go ahead. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. You know what? I'm going to bring Pastor John up here. And you know what we did was we started from, we're going to honor the elders first. We're going to go, we'll go from the old, we're going to the youngest. Amen. I believe in building up the body of Christ. I believe in building men of God. I believe in placing them in those situations where it might even be a little uncomfortable. Is that okay? Is that all right? Come on, man, because we know that God has great things for each and every one of us. Hey, if you can't speak to the house of those that love you, are you going to speak out to the others? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Hallelujah. That's for everybody. That's a word of God for everybody. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Be ready. Amen. Hallelujah. I love it. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray real quick for these men. Amen. And we'll move on. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for what you're doing this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you have a word for us, that you have something great for us. So, Lord, as we listen to your servants, God, we ask that you would quicken our hearts, open their mouths to speak, and open our hearts to hear the things that you are saying to us this morning, Lord. Father, we thank you that we are a part of a generation that's called to touch the earth, called to show the glory of God in the earth, that the earth might see the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, Father, just as you said. So we thank you for that. So, Lord, speak to our hearts. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at that person next to you and say, hey, listen up. All right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Love you, bro. God bless you.
Good morning, church. You know, Pastor Henry said we're starting with the elderly. I thought he said we're starting out with the prettiest one first. That's why I agreed to be first, you know, but okay. No, thank you guys for allowing me to bring a message to you. As he said, there's four of us that are going to speak. And I'm really excited about hearing the final product. I believe that, you know, none of us have spoken to each other. None of us have any idea what message we've been given. But I really believe that by the time we hear this thing, it's going to all fit so together. And one thing that I can guarantee you is that we're going to preach Jesus to you this morning. And if we preach Jesus, it's all good. So sermon is titled Finished. And today, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And church, he is alive. Thank you, Jesus. Now, over 2,000 years ago, 3 days prior to this event, a man hung on a cross. A man with a mission designed for specifically him since the creation of the world. You know, Adam's sin didn't catch God by surprise. God sending his one and only son to save his children was always in his plan. On this day, a man who had performed miracles, healed many, spoke of his father's unconditional love, hung on a cross. Accused of blasphemy, he had been spit on, mocked, stripped, beat as no man had ever been before. And finally, he would face the worst form of death, crucifixion. As he has agonized in the garden the night before, he prayed to his father, "Not my will, but your will." This day, he would complete his mission. And scripture tells us that his last words were, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Jesus is saying, "I did it. There's no more to be done. I did it." My first scripture that I want to read is Hebrews 10, 5 through 18. And I'll be reading out of the NIV. It says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will." First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Praise you, Jesus. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is a covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." And then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." The shedding of his precious blood has cleansed us from sin once and for all. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. He completed the work of redemption. We have received direct access to the Father as we have been made perfect in his sight. Christ is the mediator of a new, better covenant, one of grace, where we are led by our heart. And not by external standards and rules. Go with me to Philippians. This is Philippians 2, 9 through 11. And we read, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I have in my mind a picture of resurrection morning, as Jesus rises, the angels rejoice with the Father, and all those mighty men and women of the Old Testament, King David, Moses, Abraham, Esther, Ruth, and so many more, bowing to their knees as Jesus takes his rightful place. And at the same time, the enemy shrivels. Go with me now to Revelations 19, and I'm going to read 11 through 16. And this is the picture that you need to have in your mind. All these pictures that I've set for you. A man on a cross. A man rising from the grave. They all have that same sign of majesty. That same work of triumph. And now we read in Revelations, it says, "And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, with which he strikes down the nations. And he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Praise be King Jesus. There's not enough words in my heart to see who Jesus is. There's not enough mental pictures that I could have it as his majesty and the great love that he had for us when he went to die on that cross for us. But I can see this picture now that he is reigning. He's seated next to his Father. And his mission has been completed. Finished. Thank you.
Good morning. That was a good word. I'm not sure if I'm second prettiest or second oldest, but either way, I think I must be second. Pastor Henry was right. You guys are a little bit scary looking out there. when John said it was finished, it was good because he kind of got into some of my stuff a little bit, but that's awesome. We were going to cover a little bit on the cross, the veil, the mercy seat. Amen. So, John, we want to go to John 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things now were accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled it with a sponge with vinegar and put it upon a hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Amen. It's completed. If it's finished, there's nothing left. Amen. That's the good news. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 27, verse 50. And when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Amen. This veil is 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide, 4 inches thick. They said that horses couldn't pull it apart. It was sewn so well. It was also said in some of the Hebrew writings that it would take literally 300 priests to hang this thing every year to put the new one up. It wasn't an easy feat. It wasn't something that man did. It was a God kind of thing. Amen? For it was ripped from the top to the bottom. Our Father opened up an opening that we might enter in. Amen? And it says that the earth did quake and the rocks were rent. And that word rocks is talking about large rocks, big rocks. And they were literally split. They broke. I'm not sure why the ground quaked. Was it because was it because the creator of the heavens and the earth had just died? So was it the earth was groaning? Or was hell in full retreat? Amen? Or possibly maybe both? I'll go to Leviticus 16. We're going to read a little bit about what the high priest did for us, what he did in his time. And it'll be verse 12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of the fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat. Amen. Mercy seat, that's something we need to hang on to here and remember. That is upon the testimony that he die not, and that he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward and before the mercy seat, and he shall sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat for the sin offering, that is, for the people, and bring his blood within the veil to do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And man, we had a high priest that would have to come in every year, once a year, and it was only him. It wasn't the rest of the priests, it wasn't us. To enter into the holy of holy places, amen, and sprinkle blood on top of that mercy seat. And inside of that ark, there was testimony. There was a writing, some stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. And really, they were testifying against us, actually. Amen? Because we couldn't keep them. It wasn't that it wasn't good, that it was perfect, but we weren't. When you look at the pot of manna that was in there, amen? Why was that in there? Well, we were grumbling. We got tired of eating the same old thing again, right? And we're complaining. God doesn't like complaining, I don't believe, too much. Amen? That's talking to myself too. Also Aaron's rod, they were challenging his leadership, amen, his priestly duties, amen. They were in there. God was covering it with blood, amen. That the mercy seat was above, that was the beautiful part. It was above, amen. Hebrews 9. In verse 1, then verily the first covenant had also ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second, the veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about them with gold, wherein the golden pot and the manna and Aaron's rod and budded and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. And man, their wings stretched out over top of this thing, it looks like. God's mercy. Let's get over into verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by, a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but out of his own blood. His own blood, where the high priest used to sprinkle the blood of goats and bulls. This was his blood. Amen? He paid. Amen? He paid. There is no more love than that, what he did. Amen? That's awesome. And let's go over to John 20. Oops. Verse 11. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Amen. That to me looks like a picture of the mercy seat. Amen. You have two angels, one on each end, overshadowing where they laid the sacrifice, where the blood was spilled. Amen. That's awesome. The more we get into this, the more we see. I mean, God was so awesome. Mark 16. Almost there. I thought. I wasn't. All right, now I'm there. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up to heaven. And like John said, and sat on the right hand of God. Amen. Why was he sitting? Because it is finished. Amen. Amen. He didn't need to work anymore. It's finished. It is all done. Completed. Amen. That's an awesome thing. Thank you.